My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
And delivered. Swing and a high fly, deep right field, Marte going back, it is gone! Leody Taveras with his fifth home run of the year puts the Rangers back in front, 5-3.
Hexie with a call to game. You heard right here, Rangers get the victory over the New York Metropolitans as they move to 9 back of Seattle in the AL West and 6.5 back of the wild card. Still 87 games to go or whatever. So plenty of time to make up that ground. But the Rangers do get the win. And they score over 5 runs in back-to-back games, Bobby Belt.
Offense is back, baby.
Yes, it is.
Which means whenever I send Jared Sandler text messages about how the Rangers offense is doing, he won't snap at me anymore like he did a couple weeks ago.
Absolutely. So. Speaking of Jared Sandler, good morning, Jared. How are you doing?
When did I snap you? I'm good, RJ. Well, Bobby, when did I snap you?
Remember I sent you the stat, and you were like, yeah, the Rangers offense hasn't been good. Welcome to 3 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't, like, denying it, though.
No. I know. I'm just trolling you. Okay. I was trying to show you great stats. I was showing you how good they were.
I'm always open to great stats.
I know.
Just send me stats I haven't been looking at for the last 3 weeks.
That's what I do. I double over people's prep work, just like I do with Chopper every morning.
So, yeah, he does. He does.
Doesn't do prep work, so.
Oh, look at him. Oh, you should see his face now, Jared. He's ready for a fight.
That's quite frankly all I do.
Sean's not working right now, so Choppy has to put in a little effort. I know it's a little bit different.
Hey, before we do before we get into Little League stuff, I know you want to talk about. Is Wyatt Langford on a heater?
He's definitely starting to turn things around. Now, you know, will he have another stretch where it looks rough? I'm sure he will, you know, at some point between now and the end of the year. But it does seem like the arrow is pointing up. He's not missing as much on pitches in the zone. He's squaring balls up a little bit more. And it doesn't seem like he's just falling behind right away, hoping that, you know, he gets a fringe call from an ump. There's no doubt that he was getting screwed earlier in the season, but you know, he also maybe prior to those 50-50 hinge point calls was fouling off a fastball right down the middle or taking a fastball in a really, you know, favorable spot, and it just doesn't seem like that's happening as much. And it does seem like he's starting to get things going, and that's a great sign. And you know, at the end of the day, I think at the end of the season, you just want to be able to look and say, yeah, he showed that he was able to make some adjustments. The arrow's pointing up, and you know, I think he's going to have a year next year that's closer to the year that a lot of us thought maybe he would have this year.
Jared, because I know it was something that got discussed a little bit where people were just, all right, well, how can we make things easier on Wyatt Langford? Is the ability to play in the field more consistently since he got back, do you think that helps at all with the plate approach in terms of just engagement instead of having to go, you know, sit in the dugout for a couple innings and not be actively engaged in the game?
Yeah, it's possible. I there are a lot of players who will tell you that they seem to be better hitters when they're also playing in the field. And some will say it's because their body's engaged the whole game. Some people will tell you that they don't overthink, you know, in between at bats, that it's tough when all you do in a 2.5-hour game is hit 4 times. You know, you might have 45 minutes in between at bats, and, you know, you strike out, you know, you're frustrated, and all you do is you simmer on that for 45 minutes, and that's not productive. Some players will tell you that, especially younger players, they don't really know what to do in between at bats. You know, they overhit. Mm-hmm. They go to the cage and they hit too much. You know, and so I know it might sound on the surface like, oh, DHing, all you do is hit. Like, what could be worse? You know, you do that, you don't have to stand around the field. But no, I think, you know, there is something. Now, obviously, there are players who, they're professional DHs. You know, they figured out, they learn how to make it work. They learn what their routine is. But, you know, it stands to reason that a 22-year-old who's never really done it might have a little bit of a challenge of that. Now, is playing in the field the reason for the turn, or is it just the fact that this is his rookie season and, you know, after, you know, 2 months of struggling, he's starting to show signs of improving? I don't know how to delineate between the two, but there's no doubt that you can't discount the possibility that, you know, being more engaged and being in the field could help a guy like Wyatt.
Jared, as we've got, you know, they just came out of that 5-game stretch that was rough for them. But, you know, as we get closer to the All-Star game and then into trade deadline season, how do you think the Rangers are approaching their roster construction? Do you think they're waiting to see, okay, let's see which direction we continue to go over the course of the next month before we make decisions about what we're going to do? Or do you think they have plans in place of like, hey, we'd like to add a reliever regardless of what happens here, or we'd like to add a bat? How do you think they look at the team building approach over the next 6 weeks or so?
Yeah, I mean, I think they got to consider all options. And the reality is, let's just take context out of it. It's the University Little League or whatever, and they're 6.5 games back in the wild card. They're 9 games back in the division on June 20th. There's, you know, no one would ever just totally discard the possibility that you're not in a position to buy in a, you know, a month and a few days, right, as you approach the trading deadline. Yeah. So I don't know that they're, you know, no matter what, going to buy. Now, the hope is that this isn't even a conversation because the team starts to play better. They're well within striking distance. But, you know, one of the challenges, like I got asked the other day, well, why can't you make a trade right now? They clearly are in a position where they could use the help. And that's not a bad observation at all. They obviously could use the help. One of the challenges is the, you know, with the additional playoff team, there are far more teams who they're also uncertain what they're going to do. I mean, take the National League. You got 3 teams occupying a wild card spot, and you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams, if the season ended today, who would not be in the playoffs but are within a game and a half. Now, some of those teams are under 500.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, all 7 of those teams are under 500 because 2 of the wild card teams in the National League right now are under 500. So those teams are sitting there saying, we have no clue what we're going to do either. So they don't want to commit to selling. They don't want to commit to buying. And so the market, you know, really hasn't developed just yet. But yeah, I think
my dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
The Rangers would obviously want to add relief help if, you know, they're in it. And I think they got to look at the lineup, you know, whether it's a right-handed bat who can play an outfield spot, whether it's someone to platoon at first base. You know, they've got to do something to boost the lineup. One of the challenges for this team is that you figure that, you know, in a month, hopefully your team has a totally different look to it, not just with the way they're playing, but you got Josh Young back. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you'll have Evan Carter back in a month. Hopefully Wyatt Langford continues to play well, and it's like he's a different guy than what you had over the first 2 months of the season. Same with Adolis Garcia, and then that, you know, doesn't even take into account all the pitching changes that we're expected to see with Max Scherzer's return and Tyler Mahle's return and Josh Forza's return. So there are, you know, a lot of things that muddy the waters in terms of having that discussion right now and having a clear focus. But they're absolutely having conversations to try and anticipate what things might look like and what route they want to take.
Jared Sandler joins us here at 105 through the Fan. In terms of the calendar, like, if this was, where is Jake DeGrom on the, like, let's say it's the start of the season. Like, would this be January for him? You know, like, if he's going to start the season April 1st? Like, is that, how far away do you think that is? Is that on the calendar?
Yeah, so, like, comparing where he is now to what it would be if it was, like, a normal off-season schedule. Yeah, so he just threw a bullpen. I think he's still on track for, like, an early August or early to mid-August return. So that's June, July. So I guess he's February 1st, maybe. I mean, I guess, like, if I were – he's about 2 months out, maybe a little less than 2 months out. So now, you know, how will that continue to progress? I mean, you know, you don't know. We've talked about this. It's very normal for someone coming back from Tommy John to have some sort of a, you know, I don't even want to use the word setback, but just a pause because, hey, you know, we're not going to overwork the guy. That's not to say that's going to happen with Jacob, but if that does happen, it's not like the craziest thing in the world. It shouldn't raise any red flags. It's, you know, it happens to a lot of guys. But as of now, everything's been moving in the right direction. You know, he, like I said, he threw off the mound for the first time. He's continuing to progress. And I think the hope is that sometime shortly after the trading deadline, he's going to be back on a big league mound. Now, I wouldn't expect to get several starts this year out of Jacob DeGrom, in which he's expected to go 6 to 7 innings. You know, there's no reason to do that. They'll ease him back into it because next year for Jacob is really the target year. That's when you expect him to be back and competing for a Cy Young Award. But if you get 3, 4, 5 innings out of Jacob DeGrom every 5 days, you feel pretty good about, you know, Jacob DeGrom keeping runs off the board in those innings and giving your team a chance to win.
Jared, what should we reasonably expect from Max Scherzer with his return?
That's a great question. And reading between the lines of what Max Scherzer said, I don't know if Max Scherzer knows what to expect. He's sort of acknowledged, hey, I'm old and my body doesn't feel the same way and I'm really having to work my tail off to get back here. And, you know, obviously it's common sense that he's on the back nine, but I think he realizes that he might be on the final hole or final couple holes. The one thing I'll say about Max is he is, you know, as a lot of people have said, his competitiveness is off the charts. And so he's not just going to sit back and cash a check. He's not sitting back and saying, I'm just happy I made it back to the big leagues and pitching in games. You better believe that this guy is going to look for every little edge, every little crease that he can exploit, every little opportunity to be as good as he can be. I would not expect Max Scherzer to be the savior of this pitching staff. First of all, the rotation's been really good. But, you know, I think the hope is that Max Scherzer every 5 days more or less gives you a really competitive outing with a chance to win. But I would not, if you're expecting Max Scherzer to pitch in Cy Young form, I'm not saying he can't. I'm just saying that would probably not be the odds-on favorite outcome in Vegas.
Any concern at all? I know there's been data reports on some of his rehab starts. Any concern at all to you that his velocity appears down, or is that just normal expectation? It looks like he's down like 1.5 to 2 miles per hour off what he had been throwing in 2023.
Yeah, honestly, Bobby, I think that's kind of the expectation for a guy his age coming off a back injury and then dealing with a nerve thing. I mean, velocity is just, I mean, that's one of the challenges, right? Velocity is not what it used to be for him. And, you know, maybe he has velocity, you know, in the first couple innings and then starts to tail off. But, you know, last year you saw that he'd be good 4 or 5 innings and then it would really start to peter out. And, you know, I think he said at one point, you know, there's a difference between running a mile and a marathon. And, And you know, when you're 30, when you're 35, heck, I mean, it was impressive what he was doing at 36, 37, 38. But, you know, he's getting up there. And so I don't expect velocity to be a big part of it. Now, one thing Max Scherzer has always been able to do is spin the baseball. And guys who are able to succeed when the velocity package that they bring with their fastballs isn't what it used to be are guys who can spin the baseball. And so hopefully Max Scherzer's you know, able to mix speeds and get good movement, especially with the breaking ball, to have success, because he's definitely not going to be overpowering hitters. There's no doubt about that.
All right, what's up? What do you want to say about the Little League situation?
Well, I was one of these kids. I think you're kind of talking about it, RJ. I played for the Dallas Mustangs when I was in the Little League age, years after. But then I also played Little League, and it was fun. Like, Little League was, hey, let's play with my friends. And then I played the Dallas Little League All-Star team or whatever to try and go to Williamsport. And the Dallas Little League, I guess, wasn't very good. I mean, we weren't then. And I mean, for as big of a city as Dallas is, they've never really done anything in the Little League World Series. But it's all corrupt. It's all bogus. I remember when, like, the one year I did it, the way they manipulated the teams in Dallas to try and get the best chance was way different than the next year. And the only thing I'd say is this. I have no issue with the Little League World Series being on ESPN. I remember when I was a little kid, I remember watching Todd Frazier play for Toms River, New Jersey. I thought it was like the coolest thing ever. They called them the Beast from the East. And Todd Frazier was this kid with braces who pitched and hit, and he was a stud, right? It was great. I remember Danny Almonte and how captivated I was by that, and then how crushed I was when you know, you found out that he was like 36 years old. He was like a modern-day Kelly Leak. But these are not the best players in the country or the world at that age group. I mean, RJ, you know this, and yep. There's nothing wrong with that. But like you said earlier, these kids, there are a lot of people, whether it's Major League Baseball or just professional baseball or high level amateur baseball, who have an issue with the Little League World Series because it highlights a version of the game that's not the best version of the game for these kids.
Right.
You know, you don't take leads. You have, like you said, was it 60 feet bases or whatever it is. The mound is shorter distance. The fences are like 5 feet away. I mean, it's just not. And these kids, to some degree, maybe it's a great experience for a lot of them. But these same kids, not all of them, because you look and every once in a while you got guys like Randall Grichuk and Michael Conforto, guys who have had nice major league careers who played in the Little League World Series, Todd Frazier. But a lot of these kids go and maybe they do play in their club team, their travel team, whatever. And they're just guys because it's a totally different ball game. And there are a lot of people that feel like the Little League World Series tries to create this idea that these are the very best in the country. And maybe some of them are, but it is a fun rec tournament that ESPN carries. That's really what it is. And enjoy the heck out of it. I think it's awesome for these kids. What a tremendous experience. But it's not a surprise that the Little League is trying to, like, control the talent level because what you're explaining earlier, it basically seems like there are Little Leagues that are offended that Fossil Creek's putting their best players out. If every city or every Little League district put their very, very, very best players out, the teams would be so much better than they already are as they're currently constructed, because the very, very best players in most cases aren't playing Little League, and that's just the reality of it.
You're absolutely right.
Take that, university.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Also, is this not example a million of adults just screwing stuff up for kids?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's all it is.
I mean, it's the worst.
Yeah, adults are the worst in jerks.
They are.
By the way, you completely left off former Little League World Series superstar jerks and Profar as well.
Oh, of course, yeah. And I'd say, too, Bobby, it's probably a little bit different. I don't know how it works in Curacao or, you know, the Chinese Taipei team that is, you know, always there and I don't know. I can't necessarily speak to how it works outside of America with the Little League World Series and the delegations, whatever. But yeah, Jerks and Profar and Jonathan Scope were like Bash Brothers for Team Curacao back in the day.
If only he could have been as good at the major league level.
Very good.
You know,
thank you, Sam.
He's gonna be an all-star this year
for Texas. Right, I mean, for Texas.
Yeah. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Walcott. He could be the next hope.
Ooh, yeah, he's Kennedy Landry has a TexasRangers.com. We were going to get into Sebastian Walcott. We didn't have time. But TexasRangers.com, Kennedy Landry has a really good write-up on Sebastian Walcott right now.
Love you, brother.
He's been playing really well.
Love you, Jared.
See you guys.
Bye.
Love you.
Jared Sandler, the Rangers insider, joining us here on 105.3.
Williamsport insider too, man.
Yes, he is a Williamsport insider. There's no doubt about that. That's proof right there. There's a new NFL draft documentary showing just how dumb some NFL teams are. We do not have it too bad. We don't. That's next on the Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.